Before the legend was written, there was a young woman dancing in the woods, and a young man, a soldier of war, watching her. J.R.R. Tolkien's lifelong love and wife, Edith Mary Tolkien, would inspire one of the most pivotal figures in his legendarium, Luthien Tenuviel. Daughter of the elven king Thingol and Melian, Luthien fell in love with a mortal man named Beren. But their love was opposed by her father, and so he set an impossible bride price. Beren must steal a Silmaril from the Dark Lord Morgoth. Driven by love, Beren accepted the task, though Thingol imprisoned Luthien to keep her from following him. She escaped through song and enchantment and joined Beren in his dire quest. Together, they confronted unimaginable dangers, and Luthien even stood before Morgoth himself, singing a spell that lulled the Dark Lord to sleep so Beren could take the Silmaril. Though he accomplished what he set out to do, their victory came at great cost. Beren would meet his end during a fight with the great wolf Karkaroth. Refusing to surrender to grief, Luthien went to the halls of Mandos and sang a song so powerful that even the judge of the dead was moved. Given the choice to remain immortal or become mortal and share Beren's fate, she chose mortality, and Beren was restored to life so they could live out their days together in the world. In death, Tolkien and Edith were buried together. Beneath their names are inscribed the names Beren and Luthien. In Tolkien's world, the greatest female characters are not the boss babes in modern feminism. They are virtuous women who represent strength, ordered by eloquence, life, healing, and faithfulness. They are women that men want to win over. Women who men will go to the fortress of the Dark Lord for. Women who men will slay dragons for.
And we Christian Americans are the last hope for the West. Storytelling matters in this world.
There's a hunger for good stories.
We're tired of seeing Hollywood filth and slop.
That's what our goals are to make movies that are good, true, and beautiful, and glorify the Lord.
If we lose, if America loses, that's it for the West. Welcome, everyone. This is Middle Earth and Film, Episode 3, and we are so excited to be here today and to dive back into the world of Middle Earth, Tolkien's legendarium, and really unpack everything related to film and story, and looking at Tolkien's world that he created and using as a paradigm as we create stories and as we pave a path forward in the film industry. And as always, I'm one of your hosts, Trenton Powell. I'm joined by my other host, Tobias Powell.
Yep.
Tobias, how are you?
Doing good. Yep. Excited to do another Tolkien deep dive.
Absolutely. It's been really fun just diving deeper into this world, as always, and just being able to just kind of do more in-depth studies. It's been a lot of fun, and we're going to keep rolling. So yeah, for this one, well, let's go back to the last one. We unpacked seven different masculine virtues that we want to see in our male characters in stories. And we, of course, talked about how we've seen a lot of effeminate male characters in modern television, modern movies, and we don't get masculine characters anymore very often, and when we do get them, they usually are, I feel like it's still like watered down to an extent. Like we've had so much garbage in the last like decade that it's like even just like one character that shows any semblance of masculinity is like, okay, this is something we could enjoy and yeah, watch, but we don't get that very often.
Yeah.
But anyways, seven virtues that we want to see in masculine characters, and we used Tolkien's world as kind of a paradigm to look at that, looking at many different characters, some in some of his other writings that people aren't as familiar with, like the Silmarillion, and then of course the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit. And today we're moving on to feminine virtues. What do we want to see in our female characters? What kind of characters do we want the men fighting for? What characters do we want to see supporting the male characters in our stories? What do we want to see in the love interests of our male characters? And looking forward to really unpacking that for us today. And yeah, today we're gonna look at five different female virtues that we should see that we see in Tolkien's characters, and that we want to see in other characters that we write and we create, and other projects that we support and whatnot. So
yeah,
let's dive in. First one is going to be faithfulness. Now, of course, a lot of these, you know, could be true for men and women, but we're looking at specifically the feminine side of characteristics, of these virtues. What does it look like for female characters to be faithful? Faithful to their people, faithful to their children, faithful to their husbands, and what does that look like, and whatnot? And we see a lot of examples of that. I specifically defined faithfulness as covenantal loyalty to your people. To whoever your people are, whether they're your children or your husband or your nation, or other loved ones. One just example that stood out is actually in scripture. When we look at Ruth and Naomi, Ruth exemplifies faithfulness through her steadfast love towards Naomi. They both were widowed, both they lost their husbands, and Ruth had no reason to stay with Naomi, and yet she decides to stay with her and to help her and to care for her, and kind of as like a mother-in-law that's left without a husband, and she's there to be able to care for her and come alongside her. And then of course God uses her story in an amazing way. He uses her to bring about the line of the Messiah, and as you see her story with Boaz and how Boaz wins her over and everything. But you see that her continual faithfulness to her people, to Israel, and to Naomi. So
yeah,
but specifically in Middle Earth, one that I see is just Arwen, and she is, you know, she was faithful to Aragorn despite their forbidden love. You know, like they fall in love, and she remains faithful to him. She wants to support him and encourage him in his role as king, as future king of Gondor, but also recognizing what she has to give up for that. And so I know other things that you see with Arwen specifically, and let's think about the movies first, I guess.
She has just an undying love and loyalty and faithfulness to Aragorn. Obviously she gives up, you know, going off to the
Undying Lands.
The Undying Lands, and that's just a huge sacrifice for her to do for him, and that faithfulness for him is exemplified there for sure. Even just for her people and all that, and she definitely, you can see she has a love for her people and her culture and all that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's not like disregarding who she is necessarily, but she does know that she has a role as one who Aragorn loves, who Aragorn has won over, and who, you know, is called to be faithful where she's at in this really difficult time in Middle Earth, where the elves are having to leave Middle Earth as, you know, the age of men is coming, and all that. And so she is sacrificing her immortal life that she has for Aragorn. And of course this is mirrored in Luthien's story, who I talked about in the cold open, where she likewise, you know, falls in love with Beren, and they have this forbidden love. They're not supposed to be together, a man and an elf. But she gives up that for him, in order to live their days together, and to raise a family. And then of course, the line of Beren is very historic and leading to Aragorn and so forth. And
yeah,
so another character who I really appreciate in Middle Earth is Rosie. Samwise is a girl. she is, we don't get a whole lot of her. And especially in the movies, you know, you have the, you know, the scene in the Fellowship where
she's, it's, yeah, it's like a scene in the beginning, yeah, and then a scene, mm-hmm, at the end of Return of the King, and that's right, all you get of her, right, in the whole series.
Pretty much. and like I'm even fine with how they did it, because they make it clear that, you know, Sam loves this girl,
mm-hmm,
and she has affections towards him as well. And Sam goes off, you know, in support of Frodo, and it goes off to fight this war, essentially, mm-hmm, you know, and he's playing his role and leaving his home. He's leaving the Shire. You know, I'm the farthest away from the Shire I've ever been. And he knows what's ahead, and he knows what he's having to sacrifice, but he does it out of loyalty to Frodo. But we see Rosie and her loyalty and her, faithfulness to Sam. Like they do have a little bit more of a relationship, before he leaves, and, in the books, and though it's not, I don't think it's touched on that much, but it's there, mm-hmm, and Sam knows what he's coming. He, you know, his desire to come back to the Shire is more than just the Shire. It's a big part of that, but it is also Rosie.
Yeah.
And then they get married when they come back, and they have kids and have a family. But, mm-hmm, she exemplifies as a quiet and gentle spirit who remains faithful to Sam even while he's off fighting, in the War for the Ring.
Yeah.
War of the Ring. You also see how she's a domestic woman. Mm-hmm. You know, like the Proverbs 31 woman, she manages her home well. She's a quiet steward, of what she has been given.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she doesn't go off and, you know, fight, say, this is like, I'm, you know, she doesn't follow Sam's, I'm coming with you as well. And yeah, it's like, no, she stays in the Shire, mm-hmm, and protects and does her duty. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of these female characters is they, and with the male characters, like, it is, what is your role? What is your duty? And how are you going to manage that? How are you going to care and steward what has been given to you? Mm-hmm. It's not about trying to be someone you're not, necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Sam wasn't trying to be a future king of Gondor. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Sam had his role as a companion and a helper to Frodo and a friend to Frodo, and playing his small role in this grand story.
Mm-hmm.
Rosie had a role in this grand story as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the domestic role, to be home in the Shire, to create a beautiful home for Sam to come home to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So her love for the Shire is rooted in the fact that, you know, or mm-hmm, Sam's love for the Shire is rooted in the fact that there's someone to come, yeah, back to.
Well, I think even when, correct me if I'm wrong, when he was, I think it was when they were on Mount Doom, when they were talking about the Shire, was, mm-hmm, that right? When they were talking, was that when, yeah, that, yeah, was happening? Yeah. Didn't he mention her there?
I think so.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Because when he was just describing, yeah, the Shire and what it was like, mm-hmm, and I'm pretty sure he mentions her there. It was either there or another spot that I'm almost certain,
right,
that happened. Right. And in that, you can see the her being, like, his desire to be back with her.
Right. Right. She was worth fighting for. She was worth persevering for,
mm-hmm,
helping Frodo bring the ring to Mordor. It was worth it, yeah, because of what was at home.
Yeah.
He was fighting the evil while she was at home protecting that which evil threatens.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bring that up actually a little bit later, but, her beauty, her femininity, her faithfulness is, what motivates Sam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also her role after the War of the Ring is significant, and towards the end of the Return of the King, you know, she's there working to rebuild the Shire and build a home for her husband and children. She was a good, like I said, a good steward of what she has, and, mm-hmm, her faithfulness is very clear in that.
Mm-hmm.
A common theme of Tolkien in all his stories is how rebuilding what evil has destroyed is just as noble as fighting the evil that's there. Mm-hmm. It's rebuilding that which has been touched by the evil outside the Shire is just as great as going off and fighting the evil that is out there, that, mm-hmm, that is threatening the Shire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sam and the Fellowship, they're fighting that evil. Rosie's at home protecting that which is being threatened by that evil.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
It's great to see her role in that. And second of this is similar. The second trait of virtue is respect. Respect, submissiveness. It's showing honor that is rightly ordered. Once again, kind of recognizing your role and what is above you, and what respect do you owe to that which is in authority over you. We see a lot of characters, of course, that exemplify this. Arwen, once again, she's choosing a mortal life in order to come under the mission of her husband, of Aragorn. Mm-hmm. And, he has won her over. He is king. He becomes king. And now she is called to come under that mission, mm-hmm. And under him, and respect that authority. And she completely exemplifies that and does that in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Another character, one of my favorite characters, her and her husband, Tom Bombadil and Goldberry. Mm-hmm. So Goldberry, I love how, when they're in Goldberry's home. Well, for one, Tom Bombadil, we should do an episode on Tom Bombadil. I probably will, because it's his character is so interesting. It's a story. His story or his role in Middle Earth is really interesting, because he has his realm, and mm-hmm. it's the forest. He cares for the forest. He cares for the trees. He speaks to the animals, speaks to the trees. He is a, in his weird, joyful, gleefulness, in all that he is, he protects and cares for and protects his home from evil, and he protects that which is there in his home and in his homeland. And then Goldberry, as his wife, is a submissive, faithful, domestic woman who's making a beautiful home. Mm. So this one thing we can connect here is that husbands are out gardening what they have been given, caring for their land, caring for their people, and then you have that in microcosm, and the fruit of that is spills out into the home that is cared for by the wife in her domestic duties. And when a husband is being faithful in his role outside, you see a wife following in that respect and that submissiveness, in how she cares for her what she's been given.
Mm-hmm.
Duty, role, what do you have? What have you been given to do? And Goldberry does that very well.
Mm-hmm.
Creates a beautiful home for the hobbits. Yeah. But I love when the hobbits are asking, who is this Tom Bombadil? What is he, and who is he? And all Goldberry says to them, she says some more, but basically what she says is, he is. And, of course, that's, mm-hmm. Tolkien bringing some, Christology a little bit in there, and Jesus saying, I am. But it's, he just is. He is who he is. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's how she sees him, and she follows him and respects him as his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So I love Goldberry. do you have anything to say along those lines?
No, I mean, I agree with you, and, She does her role well.
Yeah. Yeah. She lives out her role, and she knows her place.
Mm-hmm.
She is Tom Bombadil's wife, and mm-hmm. she's been given a home to care for, and she cares for, and she mm-hmm. feeds the hobbits. She comforts the hobbits and helps them and gives them a warm home to rest in before they go back on their journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, how good a husband is by how his wife is.
Mm-hmm.
Goldberry is who she is because of who her husband is.
Yeah, and you can immediately really see in the women how much they respect their husbands, mm-hmm. Just immediately by how they're talking about them, or
mm-hmm.
They're just in the way they present themselves, and you picked two great examples, Arwen and Goldberry, and respect is immediately seen for sure.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And then, so the next one, number three, is this one was kind of hard to really unpack, but I think it was good specifically for Tolkien's world. That is healing. It's a virtue of healing, of giving life, of caring for that which has been harmed by the outside world, or specifically, I defined it as restoring that which has been broken, bringing restoration. You know, just as being once again a good homemaker, a good caretaker, a good gardener of your home, of your people, of those in your care. Mm-hmm. This is a common theme. You know, you see that with Luthien. You see that even with Arwen, and Galadriel is another good example. We'll talk a little bit about Galadriel and for another virtue, but you know, it's bringing restoration and having that healing touch, I guess, for that which has been harmed. So the war is going on, there's destruction and chaos, and then you have these female characters in this world that a lot of their roles are like it's a healing role, giving life and helping those that have been harmed.
Yeah.
You know, like the Rohirrim, you know, it's look at Rohan, and you have all the men out fighting, and then you have the women at home with their children in their homes, healing, helping the men who have been injured and harmed from the war, from fighting. And then I want to bring in an Eowyn for this one, because basically of how her character grows and transforms in the end, towards the end of Return of the King. So I think this is probably a good time to bring up Eowyn, because I have issues with Eowyn's portrayal in the movies. Though I think Peter Jackson was had a hard task in presenting her character, because she's a difficult character, but mostly because I don't think he was acting on a biblical worldview necessarily, and probably didn't understand exactly what Tolkien was getting at with Eowyn's character. So Eowyn, she goes off and fights in the Return of the King. You know, she doesn't listen to her father, and you know, and of course she kind of rebels against him in some ways and in some instances, and of course she, you know, tries to be a glory winner and act like she's acting like a man going to war, and Tolkien doesn't paint that as a good thing. The movies kind of do, because it kind of turn her into the hero. You know, she kills the Witch King, and you know, well, and before she does, you know, he has the whole speech about no man can kill me, and she's like, I am no man, and in that she's acting like a man. That's kind of the point.
They definitely paint a picture of sympathy for her in the movies, and you feel bad for her because she keeps getting told no, she can't go to war,
right?
And
just
it's
want to fight.
Very very backwards thinking, he failed. I think Peter Jackson failed in doing that and in presenting it as essentially a tragedy that she desires that and wants that, and not the role and the place that she has been put in the duties she's been given. She has essentially rejected them, and
you know, she seeks glory by acting like a man and taking life, but then her character, she changes and transformed because of Faramir. And as a result of everything that happened in the war, she actually takes on that healing role. She cares for Faramir and cares for him at his bedside and heals him, helps him tend to his wounds, and she becomes a faithful wife and a good woman in her role that she has been placed in. You see a complete transformation. You see it is tragic that she went off to war, that she went off to fight, and a little bit of a Deborah character, where, like, you know, there is some arrogance in Theoden that doesn't justify what she did, but that that maybe Tolkien was getting at a little bit, where it's like, you know, the men aren't the men are being foolish, the men are not doing the right thing necessarily. And though that, yeah, that can go in completely different directions, but for the most part, I always try to like unpack like what was Tolkien getting at there, but it is a tragic thing that she went off to fight. And, mm-hmm. But then she becomes that, takes on that healing role and that caretaker mm-hmm. role and she becomes a faithful wife to Faramir, who, as she submits to him and his authority. Yeah. And then she plays that role in the halls of Gondor in caring for the men that have been harmed by the war.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And the movies completely look over that side of her. Like, it was just like in the movies, it was just like, she sees Faramir and like gives him a look. And then later we see them together. I think it was when Aragorn was being crowned king, and she's like, "Oh, I guess they're
wasn't well." Because it's been a while since I've seen Return of the King. Because I'm still doing my rewatch through all of them. Wasn't she there with Faramir like when he was, you know, being like injured and being cared for as he was recovering? I feel like I remember like her by his bedside and. I could be wrong, but
I don't remember that. I might be wrong too. I don't remember.
I feel like they had a little bit more than that, but yeah, I don't know. In the books though, that's clearly there. And,
yeah, from what I remember, it's just like basically she gave him a look,
mm-hmm.
and then we see them together later. Right. There might be a little more than that, but. It was so little it was forgettable.
Fair. Yeah. Right. yeah. I mean, there's only so much you can put in the extended edition following mm-hmm. the ring, you know, following the destroying of the ring and the end of the war, but there was definitely a lot they left out of the books, but they mm-hmm. I mean, it's still long. Like after, you know, the ring's thrown into the Mount Doom, like there's still even in the movies, there's still a lot of story left. And, mm-hmm. But in the books, there's definitely a lot more story left.
Yeah.
But one thing about Eowyn also, if you notice, like, you know, she desires a husband. She desires a man who will care for her and who mm-hmm. will lead her, who will protect her. And with, like, Aragorn. Like, she falls... She's, like, you know, infatuated with Aragorn. Like, she, you know... has these feelings for Aragorn. Mm-hmm. They're not reciprocal.
Right.
She's not a good cook, so that's a problem. But you know. she finds that in Faramir, and Faramir wins her over, and you know, and once again, he's showing it, he's a good husband because of the fruit that his wife then ends up producing, and mm-hmm. the way that she's transformed in her character. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next is kind of following this and. But it's a nurturing virtue, the virtue of nurturing, which where healing is restoring what is broken, nurturing is preserving, protecting that which is placed in your care. It's a continual care for and love, a preserving of that which has been healed, and it continues to be cared for and so forth. And mm-hmm. you see with most of the healing care, the characters that have that virtue of healing also, you know. Show that in nurturing,
mm-hmm.
and you know, like I said, Eowyn would go back to that. Is that she continues to, you know, care for Faramir until he's fully recovered, and then, you know,
well, yeah, I mean, even her attempt to give food to Aragorn was mm-hmm. a nurturing thing, and yeah. The kids that ride in on the horse to Rohan, she cares for those kids,
right. She has that mother. She still like shows that motherly, yes, yeah. motherly character.
Even Mary, when they're at war, like she's constantly nurturing him as if a child and protecting yeah. him,
right?
Through that,
right?
Yeah.
Kind of go back to Goldberry as well, you know, and she, you know, cares for the hobbits, and helps nurture them back to health and strength so that they can continue on their journey. Galadriel and her preserving of the light of Lothlorien and that which is fading, she is trying to preserve. And it's kind of specifically, the waters of Lothlorien, I think it's like the Lithel is what it's called, that she gives to Frodo, the light that mm-hmm. he uses, when he's fighting off Shelob and I think the orcs, mm-hmm. He uses that light to guide him. And that light is meant to, is kind of like a image of preservation and nurturing care, I guess, that Galadriel gives to Frodo, mm-hmm. that's representing the lights that is the what is left of the light of Lothlorien in Middle Earth, and that the light that is fading away.
Mm-hmm.
But she's preserving it and then handing it off, and she's a gift giver, Galadriel, and she gives these gifts to the Fellowship, and she's nurturing, caring for them, also kind of tending to them, and as they are, resting from all that they've gone through, and especially all they went through in Khazad Dûn and so forth, and preparing them to continue on their journey. Final virtue is hope. Or hope bearing is another phrase I kind of thought of, but it's holding on to the good even when circumstances want to convince you to do otherwise. Hope is not wishful thinking. It's not like, oh, I just hope this will happen. I hope these things will turn out for good. It's holding on to that which is good even when everything's telling you not to hold on to it, or telling you that all hope is lost. And I see this a lot throughout Tolkien, but specifically in scripture, one example that I thought of was, the women at the resurrection. After the crucifixion, most of the men had fled, but the women who were close to Jesus, they held on to hope and doing good to Jesus, even in his death. They also probably didn't really expect the resurrection, but they still went to his grave. They brought, the ointments and oils in order to help preserve his body. They visit his tomb. They tend to his dead body. And then they show that Jesus's life mattered, even in his death, and that his life was not for nothing. And I think it's intentional that the women were the first to see Jesus's resurrected body, and they were the first ones really to believe that Jesus was there, and they were the ones that would go to tell the men, because they were holding on to hope.
Mm-hmm.
They had hope even when everything was telling them there was no hope.
Yeah, well, I think hope is it goes even further. It's mm-hmm. there's an assurance. It's not like I hope this happens. It's I have hope in that this is going to happen, meaning I know it's going to happen, and I have a hope for it.
Right.
And it's a looking forward to what you already know is going to happen. And of course in our modern way of thinking, it's very, the word is used very differently now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's like, I know things are going to be good. And I long for it, and I hope for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it is going to happen. It's not like I hope it's going to happen. Like, maybe mm-hmm. it's going to happen, and mm-hmm. I want it to happen, but I don't know if it's going to happen. It's a confidence and an assurance in the person doing the hoping for the event or whatever to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, and one character that we specifically see this in is Galadriel. Going back to her,
mm-hmm.
She is one of the oldest beings in Middle Earth, and she's been through a lot and seen a lot. Seen the rise and fall of many throughout Middle Earth, and she's tasked with preserving that the light of Lothlorien. She's tasked with preserving it long enough for it to pass to another world, to mm-hmm. the Undying Lands, to Valinor. Her world is fading, and the elves are soon to leave Middle Earth. But she is preserving what good and beauty is left of her people. She's it's more of holding on to the holding on to what was in the hope that it will continue on in the future. That, like, though everything seems to be dire, though evil seems to rise, she's holding on to hope being able to preserve her people, preserve the elves, preserve the light that is Lothlorien, the beauty of Lothlorien. You know, she wants this garden city to continue on, and, mm-hmm. and even that's in you know, the Undying Lands in Valinor. Like, there's hope that she's holding on to and she doesn't let go of, mm-hmm. and those, that's the type of women that we need. You know, it's not women that are, you know, that are naggy and whiny and you know, and just hate, you know, that are just kind of, I think there's this negative attitude that a lot of female characters have about everything, that everyone's, men are all against them, people are always trying to push them down, suppress mm-hmm. them. This is why with female, it's not even female superheroes, it's really just female protagonists that we see so often mm-hmm. that kind of take that center role in the story, is they already have the potential within them. They just need others to stop pushing them down or stop telling them they can't do it, because mm-hmm. they can. And, you know, they try to create these female heroes that try to, you know, find the power within themselves to be who they were always meant to be, mm-hmm. to be the hero that they were always meant to be, and to use the powers that were just being held down and suppressed for so long. And so it's always that external threat, you know, it's basically just a picture of feminism. It's just mm-hmm. women are always, they just need to, men need to stop, you know, pushing them down. Men need to stop keeping them in the kitchen and in the homes, and mm-hmm. not giving them the right to vote and all these things. They just need to get out there, because they can be just as good as the men. And that's basically all it is. Mm-hmm. They think they can be just as good as the men, and they need to step into those manly, masculine roles. You know, they need to be career women, and you know, the women need to be police officers, women need to be in combat in the army, and all these things. They need to be able to do all these things that men can do, and of course that lowers standards, that causes all sorts of friction between men and women, especially when it comes to combat, because men are naturally meant to protect women, and you can't do that when a woman is right beside you, you know, fighting alongside you in the fight that they're fighting. And it's just these women that we see in Tolkien, the women that we see in Tolkien, they are hope bearers. They're preserving that which the men have given them to preserve and care mm-hmm. for, and they're faithful in that role and holding on to hope and preserving mm-hmm. for the future.
Yeah,
absolutely. And raising children to grow up in the world that is out there, and raising young boys to be men who go out and fight to be kings mm-hmm. and lords and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's even raising their children, they have a hope and a belief and assurance that, you know, these boys will be great men one day, and it's it brings them there's a spark in that and a joy in that, and it makes them want to do their duties even more. It's like that, like these boys, like, it's my responsibility to raise these boys to be great men and to care for them and nurture them and build them up to do those things. And yeah, and that can easily just light a spark in a woman to do that even more joyfully.
Absolutely. And with just all these virtues, these are the type of women that men are willing to die for, mm-hmm. to fight for, to run through a brick wall for, mm-hmm. to give their lives for, in order to protect. And these women, it's once again, it's knowing your role, knowing your place, and not trying to step outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, living according to nature, who were you created to be, what were you created for. And it's not a contest who's fighting, you know, of constant trying to fight to get to the top. Mm-hmm. It's being faithful where you're at and not trying to be what you're not.
Mm-hmm. And
I think we see that very clearly with a lot of Tolkien's characters. And I think he did such a great job at creating those feminine characters. And, you know, even with Luthien, she is, as I said in the cold open, she was inspired by his wife, Edith, and his love for her and the beauty that she had and her faithfulness and her hope bearing in the midst that they went through a lot and struggled a lot. And yet she was always hopeful and she had that nurturing spirit to her and that Tolkien was inspired to write a lot of his female characters based off of her. And,
mm-hmm.
And so good wives help men write good stories as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then good husbands create good wives who encourage husbands to write good stories. So
yeah, absolutely.
What we see, and that's what we want to see with our characters. Mm-hmm. And we are thankful for our wives and their faithfulness and
men and women, like it's a complementary thing. And if you have women that are trying to have these masculine virtues, they're going to be at odds and fighting with their husband, and there will never be peace.
Mm-hmm.
Just as if the man is having feminine virtues, he will always be at odds with his wife, and yep. there will never be peace. It's, you know, the wife does the things that the man can't do, and the man does the things that the woman can't do. And they both have their roles. They both have their duties that they're called to do. And they both have to do those duties and fulfill those duties. And there will be peace. There will be joy within the home and in the families.
Absolutely. So I think that's just about it. We want good feminine characters.
Mm-hmm.
And just as we want good masculine characters.
Yeah.
And there are ways to tell stories. You can have female characters that step out of their role and you can tell it in a tragic way, like Eowyn. And
another thing about with modern movies and TV shows, they have the woman having masculine roles, virtues, and the man having feminine virtues, and they act as though there is peace and that you can have peace if each is doing the opposite role of what they're supposed to be doing. And and that's just a lie. Like, there just won't be.
Mm-hmm.
And because neither can do those roles properly.
Right.
The man can't do the woman's roles properly, and the woman can't do the man's roles properly. And so even if they're both trying to do the opposite, they will both fail, and there will not be peace, and there will not be prosperity within the home. It'll be chaos and a wreck, and and there's just no structure there. And but modern movies and stories will lie to you and pretend like it's possible and that it's actually the ideal, and but it's just a bunch of lies.
Absolutely. So Tobiah, do you want to take us out and finish this off here?
It comes down to this: masculine characters in Tolkien often confront evil. Feminine characters often preserve what evil threatens. When these roles are swapped, we get uninspiring stories. We want our women to be virtuous women. We don't want them acting like men, but acting the way God created them to act. We want female characters who men are willing to go to the end of the world for. Women that men are willing to die for.